Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of or from the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Literally, if I may lay hold on that for which Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. We call your attention to what we have here in verse 13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we want to thank thee and praise thee in our Savior's precious and worthy name for this thy word. We ask, O God, once again that as it goes forth, it will fall upon fertile soil, and that the Spirit of God will quicken it, and that it might spring forth into life. The fruit might be born to the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. The death rattle of 1975 is being heard. It has only 3 more days to live. Soon, it will have passed away. What of its eulogy? Have we made the most of it? Have we gotten the most out of it? Are we satisfied with the use that we have made of it? Have we chalked up many victories for the Lord? Have there been a multitude of failures that leave us very, very discouraged? Are we satisfied with the use, I say, that we've made of this past 12 months? Have there been many defeats? Have there been frustrations? Have there been losses? Lots of regrets? How much of it would we life to live over, and how differently would we live it if we had an opportunity to live that part of it over again? What about the projects that we have dreamed of? What about the projects that we have attempted? What about the projects that we have succeeded with, and those that we failed with, those that we haven't attempted at all? What about the problems? Have we faced them squarely and looked to the Lord for the solution of them? What are the situations that we have created for ourselves? And the situations that we have found ourselves in that we feel that we personally were not responsible for? How have we faced them? Now, regardless of these reflections, we have lived the year. It is now past. Only what we have done for Christ will last. Or we might put it in the form of a question, as another has. Only a year, it is now past. What have we done with it that will last? Perhaps a better way of framing that question is, how much have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ during this year of 1975. Remember that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so everything that we have done during 1975, we will face at the judgment seat of Christ. Every word, even every idle word, declared the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 10:36, we will give an account of at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I ask you honestly and sincerely, my friends, have you sought? Have I sought? And everything that we have attempted to do during this year, to do it to the glory of God, has that been our primary and our final aim, to do that thing to the glory of God? Remember our Lord Jesus Christ said, as recorded in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he could testify, as recorded in John 8:29, I do always those things that please the Father. Wouldn't you like to be able to say tonight, wouldn't you like to feel that you are able to say tonight, that you can honestly say tonight, I have done all the things that I have done during 1975 to please the Father, to please God. Remember the Apostle also said, as recorded in Romans 8:8, if we walk after the flesh, we cannot please him. So, dear friends, if we have permitted ourselves to walk after the flesh, we certainly have not pleased God. For the scripture says that we haven't pleased God if we have walked after the flesh. It is only as we have walked after the Spirit that we have pleased God. Now, can we say as honestly and as sincerely as the Apostle Paul said it, what is recorded in Galatians 2:20? I am, or literally, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, the life which I have lived during 1975, I live, and I have lived, by the faith, or by the faithfulness, literally, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Have we lived it practically to his glory? Remember in Colossians 3:6-7, he says that ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving? What about thanksgiving? What about thankfulness? What about gratitude? Have we been thankful? Have we been grateful to God? Have we told him of our gratitude for the many wonderful things that he has done for us during this year of 1975? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the apostle says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And someone says, but Tommy, that says in everything give thanks. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. And you are so right, my dear brother, it does say in everything give thanks. But what about Ephesians 5:20? Giving thanks always for all things. So there we are told to give thanks for all things. And it doesn't say for all good things. It doesn't accept anything at all, but it says that we are to be thankful in everything, And we are to give thanks for everything. Thus saith the Scriptures. Have we prayed during this past year? As our Lord prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Have we believed Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together for them that love God, for them who are the called according to his purpose. Or better, we know that God works all things together for good. Have we obeyed Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, which reads that we should do all things without murmuring and disputing? Or have we done that which we have done with a bit of grumbling in the background, and not entirely with a willing heart and in a willing spirit, as the children of Israel brought to Moses when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle? What about the exhortation in Galatians 6:2? Bear ye one another's burdens. Have we tried to bear the other fellow's burdens or to help him bear his burdens? And what about Romans 14:1? Have we received the weak brother in the faith? Or have we looked upon him in disdain? And have we become more or less disgusted at his weakness? And have we wished that he might be as strong as we are? And what about Galatians 6:1? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And what about the formula that we have in 1 John 1 and 7? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. In short, have we obeyed the exhortation of 1 John 2:6? Have we walked as he walked? For the inspired writer says that if we say we abide in him, then we ought also to walk even as he walked. For John tells us also that as he is, so are we in this world. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21, 22, and 23, for Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Have we followed that pattern when there have been times when we have been reviled, when there have been times when we have suffered and we felt that we were suffering not because of anything that we had done? Or have we, to the contrary, reviled? Have we hit back? Have we, my friends, suffered, but not suffered acceptably, not suffered willingly? I wonder what we've done with the exhortation that the apostle gives to us in Romans chapter 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. Where he tells us that we should likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where he tells us, my friends, that we should yield not our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but we should yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Oh, I wonder, my friends, have we, to sum it all up, obeyed what we find in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. And as Brother T.B. Gilbert used to always correct anyone who quoted that verse, as it is in the King James in his version, for ye have died. For ye have died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear also with him in glory. Now, such reflections as these will be profitable if they are corrected. Otherwise, my dear friends, they may leave us in the throes of despair. We may feel like crying out with the Apostle Paul, as recorded in Romans 7:24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Most of us, I suggest, will shrink back from facing these facts that we have sought to summarize, that would describe the year of 1975, your year and my year. Most of us, I think, will sense miserable failure. Well, good. Wonderful. This is as it should be. And I certainly would rather it would be this way than that we should begin to pat ourselves on the back and that we should begin to brag about our accomplishments and think that really, after all is said and done, we've done a pretty good job and we have perhaps occasion to be a bit proud of ourselves. No, to the contrary, let us admit that we have failed, and we have failed in many instances. I'll be the first to make that confession. But we must not stop here. We must not give up. But we must, my dear friend, remember the invitation that we have in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we ought to begin to do a bit of confessing and a bit of believing. That is, we should believe God to forgive us. And we should follow that up with a bit of forsaking. Forsaking these things that we've done wrong. Forsaking these things that we have not done in the manner that we should have done them. And seek to do a better job in the year that is ahead. The Lord will surely say to us, even as he said to the children of Israel, as recorded in Exodus 14:15, why stand ye here crying unto me? March. Move forward. And then, my friends, we can pray, make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Force me to render up my soul, and I shall conqueror be. Our text says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, we press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the suggestion that we find in our text is to pull down the curtain on that which has already passed, on that which is behind us, and not finish to it, and to move forward on into the new year. For it is certainly very, very true that we cannot turn back the calendar. We cannot live over 1975. For the year cannot be recalled. The journey cannot be retraced. Our mistakes cannot be undone. But 1976 is before us. And we can do something about 1976. Remember that God told Israel, as we noted a moment ago, to go forward when the Egyptians were behind them and when the wilderness was on either side of them and when the Red Sea was in front of them. Nevertheless, he said, forward march. Now he brought them up out of Egypt, but he had brought them up that he might take them in, as we read in Deuteronomy 6:23. I brought you out that I might take you in. And that is to say, he brought them up out of Egypt that he might take them on into Canaan into the promised land. And so here, marching forward to go into the promised land, they come to this roadblock with the Red Sea in front of them, as we pictured, and the Egyptians hard behind them, and the wilderness on either side. And under these circumstances, God says, don't stand here and cry unto me. You baby, march, move forward. Now it took faith to do this, but friend, they had to exercise faith. And if we would march forward, we will have to exercise faith. Remember that the Bible says of Enoch, as recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, 5, that he pleased God. In Jude 14, we read that Enoch prophesied, that is to say, he witnessed for God. And in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, we read that Enoch walked with God. So, Enoch walked with God. Enoch witnessed for God. And as a result, Enoch pleased God. But Enoch had to exercise faith in order to please God. For Hebrews 11, 6, the verse following the verse that tells us that he pleased God says, that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so even with the Red Sea in front, and even with the wilderness on either side, and the Egyptians behind, and no way to escape, the children of Israel were to move forward, and orders were orders. And when they obeyed, remember that God divided the sea, and Israel passed over into the promised land, and their enemies essayed to do likewise, and the waters engulfed them, and of course destroyed them. And so I suggest to you, using this as a metaphor, let us 3 days from now, come midnight, Wednesday, and you've already heard the announcement concerning the watch night service, let us pass over into 1976. And let us, as we pass over into 1976, obey the commandment of the Lord and march forward. Remember what God said to Joshua as Joshua was leading the children of Israel into this promised land? He said, ye have not passed this way heretofore. And friend, you and I have not passed the way that 1976 presents to us heretofore. That is to say, we are not at all acquainted with the way that we shall call 1976. But remember that we have one who will go before us to show us the way. Remember that we are to follow the ark, and our ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua chapter 5, and you can turn to it if you want to, and turn to it quickly, we notice a very interesting passage concerning this time in the life of the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. Beginning with verse 18 of chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, we read, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us, or art thou for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Moses received these same instructions to loose the sandals from his feet when God spoke to him from the burning bush, for he was in the presence. And here Joshua finds himself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the very fact that this identity of the Lord's host, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very fact that he accepted the worship of Joshua proves that he was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that when Cornelius would worship Peter. Peter refused to accept that worship, saying that I am only a man. And remember when John on the Isles of Patmos would worship the angel refused the worship and told John to worship God. And so, God only is to be worshipped. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine man, the captain of the Lord's host, who had come to Joshua and who accepted the worship of Joshua. And he proved his identity by receiving that worship and by giving the commandment that he did. And of course his commandment to Joshua was to move on into the promised land, to fulfill the plans that God had laid out for Israel. But as Joshua faced that promised land, having already crossed the River Jordan, Jericho, this great city, loomed dark through the night. And this city must be assailed. This city must be taken. Those in this city must be overcome. Now the divine man appeared as captain of the Lord's host. But notice, he appeared after the circumcision had been done, and after the circumcision had done the work of separation from the flesh, such as pride and self-reliance and what have you. For Joshua and the children of Israel had already crossed over the Jordan, as we said, and the scripture says they crossed clean over Jordan, and they had encamped at Gilgal, and the generation that had been born and raised up in the wilderness were circumcised, and therefore the flesh was cut away, and they had learned that now God was their refuge and strength, and they must put their confidence and their trust in him. And notice, it was not weeks before this happened that the captain of the Lord's host appeared. It was not before the crossing of the Jordan that he appeared. It was not before the circumcision had taken place that he appeared, but it was after all these things. In other words, it was after the demands had been met. And so it is, friend, with you and with me. It is only after the demands are met that God will appear to you and to me to lead us forward as captors, as victors, in 1976. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, all those conditions must be met. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We must be reverent. We must be obedient. We must be full of faith. And we must pray. We must be vessels that are meet for the Master's use, as we read in 2 Timothy 2 and 21. And then our captain of the Lord's host, with his legions of angels, will be by our side and will lead us on. And we note something else from this illustration that we draw from Joshua and the children of Israel at this time. It was cleanness rather than cleanliness that brought the captain of the Lord's host to their side to lead them on into victory. Or, of course, as they moved on into the promised land, they would find impassable seas. They would find mountains to be crossed over. But remember that the captain of the Lord's host would go before them. And so they should be courageous and claim the land for the glory of God. And in like manner, I suggest to you and to my own heart that for 1976, we set our aims high. Let us attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Now, if we cannot do great things for God, let us do little things for God in a great way. An Arabian prince once said that one forward step makes a short sword long enough. And one forward step on your part and my part with God will take us far enough into the promised land, into the land of spiritual warfare, into the land of conquest, that we may be victors in His name. So, friends, I remind you that 1976 is before us, and I suggest to you, as the Lord said to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, don't just stand there. Do something. Remember Philippians 4:13, which you have quoted glibly so many times. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now prove it. Prove that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. As you move forward, the Lord willing, into this new year. Remember Deuteronomy 13:27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And listen to the rest of it. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before us, and that's not all. Shall say, destroy them. Remember that victory is ours in Christ, because He has already won the victory for us. Oh, the obstacles may loom large. Trials will come. Sorrow and heartaches may lurk in the shadows. We may face death during the coming year. We ourselves may depart this life. Someone dear to our hearts may depart this life. We may look upon their faces, cold in death. But with grace to keep, and the rod and the staff to comfort, we need not fear. Remember the Lord says in a verse so well known to all of us, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Neither be thou dismayed, for I am thy God. I will sustain thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Note again our scripture, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press on toward the mark for the prize, and a worthwhile prize it will be, of the high calling, of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us emulate the Apostle Paul. Let us go and do likewise. Let us be done with 1975, because it is virtually finished. Let us be occupied with 1976. Remember, each footfall will lead us closer to the city of God. And we may arrive, so to speak, in our heavenly Jerusalem during this year of 1976. Now, if it happens, remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He will want to find us occupied. For He said, occupy till I come. So when the Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, which He may do in 1976, I don't know, I say He may. Oh, please, let us find Him. Let Him find us occupied and busy about our Father's business. May I share with you this point? It may be the last of the years swiftly fly. It may be the year when the Master will come, when the land of the holy for which we are sighing will burst into view, the Father's glad home. It may be the last, when all mystery ending in radiant light from the sunshine of God. And oh, what a welcome, as we are ascending, will more than make up for the difficult road. Oh, my friends, as 1975 draws to a close, I plead with you once again, let us forget those things which are behind, remembering our mistakes only sufficiently to profit from them, remembering our successes only enough to give God the glory for, And let us tackle the task that the Lord would place before us in 1976 in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, following the guidance of the captain of the Lord's host, even our Lord Jesus Christ.